connection now was made when some literacy experts, easy for me to say, are calling a crisis. The Book Truck, which is a nonprofit group that encourages teens to read and teaches them literacy skills, says the rates of teen literacy have become a crisis. Their data shows that 60% of teens in this country do not read at grade level. They also report that teens with low literacy rates are more likely to become pregnant, drop out of school, and be unable to find employment. So what are some ways that educators, caregivers, and teens themselves can improve those statistics? A local festival is hoping to be part of the solution. The Greater Rochester Teen Book Festival is entering its 14th year. This year's event on Saturday, May 15th, will be virtual. For the remainder of the hour, we're going to hear from festival organizers and authors about the event, teen literacy rates, what's new and trending in teen and young adult literature. And I'd like to welcome our guest now. The co-director of the Greater Rochester Teen Book Festival and a librarian at the Webster Public Library is Colleen Hernandez. Colleen, welcome. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Also with us is Dr. Kenya Malcolm, a board president of the Greater Rochester Teen Book Festival and a YouTube book reviewer. Kenya, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on.
And Paul Griffin is an author. Paul, thanks for being with us.
Hey, guys. Thank you.
Colleen, let me start with you here. You know, it's interesting when you think about what kids are reading. Even the kids who are reading are often not reading books. And I'm coming to this conversation as a lover of books, as someone who is very keen on making sure that my son is reading books. But how concerned are you generally about trends with reading?
You know, it's tough. Like I've worked with kids, with teens, with adults, and you know, you definitely see a drop off as kids get older, since you know they're busier with school and friends and sports and jobs and all of that stuff. But I mean, working in a library, a public library, we do still see teens coming in using our library, you know, checking out materials and stuff. So I think it's kids are out there still reading for sure.
What do you think, Kenya?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yep.
Sorry. I think that's true. I'm a psychologist, so I also work with teenagers in my other life. And I think that there are still lots of kids who are out there reading and lots of kids who can see themselves in books and learn about other people in books. I think, you know, sometimes they're discouraged when they're forced to read books that they don't feel like they can relate to. But I certainly think kids are still out there reading.
Paul, do you share that optimism?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's gotten a lot better, particularly in the last 10 years. A lot of kids that I work with, they don't have the infrastructure a lot of times that would support a lot of reading. Even in school, you know, they're reading these books that are written in the 1930s and 40s by dead white guys. And that's not something that that's really pulling them in. But I think in publishing, there's been a real effort to find writers and artists who are going to give kids characters that they can see themselves in. So, you know, Jason Reynolds has really kind of written some amazing books in the last few years that I find a lot of the young men that I work with are digging, and they're picking it up, and it's not uncool to be caught, you know, carrying around a book. When I was a kid, you just didn't carry around a book. You'd get your butt kicked in. But now I think people like Jason are getting rid of that stigma that maybe reading really is a way to help you get to the next step in making that dream come true.
And Paul, let me just ask you to elaborate a little bit on the point that you're making about how we bring people, particularly kids or teenagers, into reading. And yes, certainly I take the point, and we've reported on this, that in this country, in public schools, it has been mostly old dead white guys who are the authors, and some of them fabulous authors and classic writers, but
for sure.
but it's been very narrow and limited. And so one of the natural corrections is to make sure that lists are much more interesting, diverse, wide-ranging. Cornel West, though, recently said that he thinks it is an overcorrection for departments, sometimes English departments and sometimes entire school systems, saying that they're not going to teach the classics at all, that they're not going to teach the old dead white guys at all. and that that is an overcorrection. What do you make of that?
I think Dr. West has a really good point. I feel like even if you want to not hold that up, like there was a great documentary, Ken Burns documentary on Hemingway recently. And you really got into his mind about he was phenomenally talented. He changed the way that narrative fiction works, just really kind of sacrificing a lot of the poetic quality that you used to find in the books before that were being written before he wrote. And maybe Stephen Crane too. He kind of revolutionized. He wrote in a much more plain speak way. But there's a lot of narcissism, and there's that whole scaffolding of white male privilege that is just assumed to be the default in the literature, in the stories. And I don't know that they were conscious of that. Well, you know, Crane and Hemingway, while they were writing it. But, you know, I don't know that you want to throw away those books, because the stories and the characters, you know, a lot of people are going to be able to click with them. Like in the Nick Adams stories, I remember as a kid just wanting to get away from the city and just getting out into the country a little bit. Like those the way he wrote those stories really took me away. So there's value there, but also I think you want it, they reflect the time. They reflect what the country was like in terms of the way we had things set up economically and socially and in terms of equality, and there wasn't a lot of it. So I think that you want to preserve those as historical documents, as creative documents. And yeah, long answer to say that I think Dr. West has a really good point.
Well, and so let me ask our other guests about that, and then we're going to make sure that all of our listeners are aware of what's coming their way with the Greater Rochester Teen Book Festival. Kenya Malcolm, how do you see the efforts to diversify reading lists? And I mean beyond. Let me give you sort of an example of what I think probably doesn't work. 5 years ago, there was a district, and it's long enough that I don't want to name the district because I don't remember all the details, but there was a district that is pretty well known, pretty highly rated in New York State, but their list was lily white. And, you know, there were really sort of kind but firm black families in the district that called them out for this. And so what they did was they basically added like a book of like a black author, like, hey, There you go. Stop complaining. Here's a black author. Isn't that good enough? Now we're going to go back. So to me, that was sort of the cynical, not serious way of addressing what teens are exposed to, what kids are exposed to, and what it really means to actually care about diversifying reading lists. And then the other side is what Dr. Cornel West says is the overcorrection, which says we're banning all white, old white authors. And so I'm curious to know sort of where you fall on kind of that pendulum and what you make of the efforts and if you take it seriously that you're seeing right now.
Yeah, well, I think I agree with everything that Paul was saying, that the value of the stories that we already have, you know, we have to appreciate that, right? And that they have a role. I think where it starts to become a problem is when those are the only stories being told, or those are the only authors allowed to tell any stories. And those stories don't represent everyone, and not everyone will find a connection with those kinds of stories. So it's really about variety as well as accurate depiction. You know, we think about representation, particularly in some of these publishing and literary spheres, you know, that there's a danger in that single story because it becomes the only way we understand or only thing we understand about a group of people or certain people. So I think particularly for TBF, or, you know, going back to this more broad thing in speaking about schools, I think what happens is a tokenism of choosing something in order to, you know, put a fire out because the parents were upset. And so it's an offering, not an understanding. And so that offering looks pretty shallow because it's not rooted in anything real. And I think for the people who are really doing this well, it's a true appreciation for the fact that multiple stories and good representation is better literature and better experiences with reading. kids now aren't only living in very homogenous areas. They don't only know one or two things. They have a bigger exposure. The world is getting smaller, and they don't only want or need to see themselves alone in stories. And so I think when there's an appreciation for that, the attempts to diversify become about equity and good representation and not about making someone not be mad at you.
How do you see it, Colleen Hernandez?
I would agree with what both Paul and Kenya mentioned, but I know one thing that we try to do with the festival is try and include authors from all different backgrounds, you know, races, belief systems, you know, everything, so that teens do see themselves represented in, you know, the books and the works that these authors are bringing to the festival. I think that's something that's really important for the teens to see, that they are, you know, they are seen and they are represented in these books that they're choosing to read. So that's definitely been something very, very important to us. You know, as the years pass, we try to be as open and inclusive as possible just to make everyone feel welcome and feel part of our festival.
Can I add something? This is Ellen. I'm sorry I was a little bit late.
Yeah, Ellen, welcome. So Ellen Hopkins is also an author who's on with us. Hi, Ellen. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, it's also important for people that, not just people to feel included, but for people that might not get the other perspective or another perspective to see, to be able to, which is why it's important to have these books in the classroom too. Because there are a lot of kids that if it was left to just their family or their church or whatever telling them what to read or not to read, they might never, ever get other points of view. And I think it's really, really important that all of our kids get lots of different points of view, because that's what makes us become understanding and empathetic and care about other people that we might otherwise just not just even overlook, but shun. It's hugely important that we have include these books for kids who might not see them otherwise.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're talking about the Greater Rochester Teen Book Festival, which is coming up Saturday, May 15th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. It is free, but registration is required in advance by visiting teenbookfest.org. 35 well-known and upcoming authors and narrators, including New York Times and USA Today bestseller Karen McManus, and then a range of other authors this year, including, well, Ellen Hopkins and Paul Griffin. We're glad to have them. And we're going to talk a little bit about their work in just a moment. But Colleen and Kenya, can you both explain? I'll start with Colleen. You know, what are you hoping comes out of a festival like this, having to do it virtually? You know, what would you set as a main goal for this kind of an event, Colleen?
Well, obviously, it's going to be a very different event from what we normally have. Mm-hmm. Definitely that atmosphere and that excitement of having, you know, thousands of teens and all of our authors together in one place. Just, you know, some of our authors have kind of referred to it as like their rock star treatment, and it's just like a really fun, high energy day. So that definitely we're going to be missing this year, being a virtual event. But we are still hoping to, you know, let our area teens and outside of the area teens this year get to meet these authors. You know, some of these authors are, you know, people that these teens really look up to and are really excited to meet, and, you know, the authors can share their messages of the work that they've been doing, and still getting to connect with the teens just in a little bit of a different way this year. But we're trying to keep as much of the virtual festival the same as our regular festival, just in a different format. And looking forward to hopefully a really fun day. So,
Kenya, what do you hope comes out of this?
Oh my gosh. I love the Teen Book Festival. So I started as a volunteer 6 years ago or so. And I think, you know, we've talked about being readers. There is just something completely different about connecting with a story from the perspective of the person who wrote it. It brings the story to life in a different way. It gives teens an opportunity to ask questions. A lot of the teens that we have who come are big readers, but also some of them are aspiring writers. And many of our authors talk about making connections with their teen audience members over time. giving advice or learning more about them or having opportunities to talk with them again. I think that, you know, one of the words that we've used in writing our mission statement for TBF is transformative opportunities. Like, these are the kinds of interactions that people have with role models and with successful people that will change the trajectory of their plans for their life. So not to be too aspirational or anything, but I'm hoping for both those big transformative experiences as well as just the excitement of being with people who love the same things that you love.
Again, it's teenbookfest.org for free registration, Saturday, May 15th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Ellen Hopkins, tell us about some of your work.
Well, I have 14 young adult novels. Most of them are in verse, mostly all verse, two middle grades, so they kind of skew upper middle grade, so for younger teen readers as well. That's kind of my new thing I'm pushing into. So I do a lot of, I talk a lot, it's all contemporary work, so it's about the stuff that kids face today, the issues that teens face today. And I try to really give them hope and insight and some, you know, some, again, understanding of the problems that they will be facing and maybe ways to make better choices through my books.
And Paul Griffin, tell us about some of your work as well.
Well, Evan, I'm not so great about talking about my my own work, but I tell you, it's I love Ellen. We became friends at the festival, and I think one of the most exciting things for me about doing the Teen Book Festival up in Rochester is that the energy that folks like Ellen bring, it inspires all the other artists there. So, you know, for example, with Ellen, with her book Crank, everybody should read Crank because, that is rooted so deeply in Ellen's personal experience as a caretaker, as somebody who really cares not just about her family, but about the world. So I think that I get energized by, Amy King is another amazing author who's always up in Rochester. You read her book Dig. You know, you can feel these stories come to life. You feel like you're sitting with the person, and then you meet the author. You meet Ellen, and you like, hey, I was just hanging out with you for 6 hours reading Crank, and now you really are what you wrote. So, I think the kids. I think that Colleen and Kenya and Stephanie Squicciarini, who started the festival, you know, they really look for folks who are going to get the kids. Feeling like that when they're reading the books that they're really spending time with the folks who wrote them. So my work just benefits from hanging around with people like Ellen.
you're very humble.
Interrupt Paul for just a second because he has some of the best books I've read in a long time. And I discovered his work and started reading Ellen's work because of the Teen Book Festival. So I think that, you know, I don't want to undersell Mr. Griffin's talents either.
Well,
Kenya's. Oh, sorry, Evan.
Oh, no, please go ahead, Paul.
No, I was just going to say that, like Kenya, you know, I remember when she started, she brings light into the room, you know, and I think that it's a family that runs the Teen Book Festival. And that's from the people who are organizing. It's crazy. I mean, you got to go, Evan. You got to go when it's live. It's insane. You got thousands of kids running around like, you know, chasing people, who are their favorite writers. And that all of that is so carefully curated. Like,
But it's fun. That's the whole point.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun. You know, and the whole point of the festival is to make it to remind kids that reading is fun and authors are fun. And the whole, you know, industry is just, it can be fun. It's not all something you have to do. It should be something you want to do. And I think that's a takeaway from the festival is that you're going to want to read books. You're going to want to read the books from these authors that you're meeting and learning about their work and stuff.
Absolutely. And you know, Paul and Ellen's books are often not only read for pleasure, but they're often read in classes, whether it's Crank, whether it's 10 Mile River, Burning Blue. And, you know, Paul, just briefly, in the YA category, there is a real heated sort of ongoing public dialogue that's kind of re-examining past works and examining forthcoming works, saying, is this an authentic voice? Does the author sort of have, you know, sort of have the genre's stamp of approval to write on this subject? And in some cases, it's been very, very hot and heated and difficult. Do you think that's a healthy development?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's critical to our community producing the work that the kids are really going to dig into. And yes, it is. It's a hard conversation to have. I think that from the white male perspective, most of the times, I just got to shut up and listen and really take in what is being said and realize that, hey, you know, my own experience, my family is two women of color. It's if I'm writing about the people in my life, I don't get an idea, you know, and say, oh, you know, I'm going to dig in and research that. It's generally I write because people in my life, you know, formative relationships, your family relationships, your relationships with your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, people inspire you, people terrify you, and I'm not that quick. So writing slows things down for me and really gives me a chance to take a look at what is happening, what's scaring me, what's inspiring me, what's giving me hope, what's making me laugh. So I think if you're writing from an honest place, Most people are going to say, hey, you know what? Maybe his books aren't really going to click with, you know, the kids in my classroom. But okay, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he is writing honestly. That has been my experience. At the same time, when people say, hey, you know what? I don't know that you should be writing about these characters. And that's valid, too. I get it. I don't think there's any one answer here. I think it's an ongoing conversation that needs to keep going on and on. And it is making the book world better. And that's the most important thing. It's making YA much, much better and much more diverse.
Okay. I'm only down to about 30 seconds, 40 seconds. But Ellen Hopkins, some final thoughts from you on that as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, it's hugely important to have own voices work out there that's authentic, and speaks to the people, not to the author as well as to the people that he or she is writing for. That's really super important, and it is a conversation that needs to be ongoing. I do think that I happen to have a black editor, and she told me just the other day she has no problem with white people writing other than white characters, if that's the question that you have. As long as you have to dig in, you have to get into the culture, you can't just like write about people. You have to live with them, you have to live through them. So I think it's really important that you have to be authentic as the other author.
Well, Ellen Hopkins, Paul Griffin, authors who will be part of the festival. Hey, thank you for taking time, Ellen and Paul.
Thank you, Evan. Thank you so much.
And Colleen Hernandez, Kenya Malcolm, and the upcoming festival, May 15th, teenbookfest.org. Colleen, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
And Dr. Malcolm, thank you as well. And more connections coming up in just a moment.